When we were talking about the R34s the other week, when we were talking about how the price has gone up and it feels like that we're never going to really own one.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, how do you get ahead of that curve? What do you mean you don't?
You don't.
I think that there has to be some kind of way where if you have a speculation that a car is going to eventually shoot up in price, there has to be a moment where you say, now or never.
Speculation is by like buying stock.
Better judgment, I should say. Is that fair to say over speculation?
I don't know. I think that there's a fair amount of cars out there that you can easily see will appreciate in value. How much and what their cult following ends up being, and as far as if it turns into that, you know, Tesla stock, or if it turns into, you know, that Amazon stock, or if it turns into the equivalent of in that in car worlds, you know, R33s, 34s, stuff like that. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's some cars that have some of the signs that will lend itself to be, you know, some of those hot cars in the future.
I know, and those are all the cars that I am starting to eye right now and be like, I got to get these on my radar.
Let's talk about this stuff, because when we talk about cars that are collectible, there's going to be that range of cars. Like, I think about it perfectly. 2G Eclipse, like I used to own, and you know, 2G GSX and stuff like that, right? Those are cool cars. Galant VR4s, 3000 GT VR4s. You know, you're going to have those cars that as they become used and abused, and there's only a few clean examples that have remained, they'll appreciate, right? They'll go up in value. But the question is how much. Like, for example, you know, back in my day, but like you go back 20 years ago, and you know, if I bought you know, a GSX that was 5 years old, you know, I was probably paying, let's say, 15 grand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the car was clean, lower mileage and stuff like that. And now today, if you go find one that's in decent shape and maybe even has, you know, it's built, it has modifications, but they're tasteful, the car is clean, no accidents, no rust, and the car, you know, is whatever. I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about it's going to sell for 15 grand. I mean, like, nothing really happened. It's just that those cars plummeted in value, and now whatever's left is coming back up a little bit.
Max pulled up a 99 2G GSX on Cars and Bids. That thing looks mint, Scott. That's like right up my alley.
Well, what I like about that car is it automatic?
Maybe, but...
manual. So here's the thing. Like, yeah, like that's the prime example of the clean cars. Like,
sold for 13,000, 13.5.
I mean, that's to me, I think that that's a great deal. I think at some point, how many miles on it? 89. Yeah, that was a good to me, that's a good deal. And I think that you're going to start to see, the only thing that bothers me is this is Barcelona Red Pearl, and I think that that is not Barcelona Red Pearl. Maybe it is. It might be.
I mean, that seems like something like, wow, if that was in front of me, I probably would have said, oh, I should just get this. Like, it's now or never.
Yeah, I'm concerned that car was painted, though.
Maybe, but...
You see the front bumper? On the front bumper, there's that area, like, where people put front mounts. You see where the license plate is? There's that bar there.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that was painted on most of the cars. I think that it was a black two-tone, the same as the fog light covers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was on my bumper anyway. anyhow, bottom line is, yes, like that would be a good example of a car that will appreciate. But like, will that car, you know, even 20, you know, 10, 15 years from now be worth 18 grand? You know what I mean? That's not the car that I'm thinking about.
Well, the Eclipse in particular always has that kind of Fast and Furious, you know, propulsion behind it.
Yeah, but like, think about it like this. All right, if that shared the same spotlight and had just as much time as the RX-7, FD-RX-7, and an A80 Supra.
Okay.
Right? Both those cars have outvalued the GSX by a ton.
Yeah. Well, the RX-7 seem to be pretty fluctuating in price of what I see out there.
You know, I think what makes those cars hard to deal with is the fact that they're not super friendly to work on in the sense of, like, you got to really know about rotaries to really do rotaries right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, if it was me, if I was able to get my hands on a FD, unless it was mint, I would be looking to swap the engine.
Yeah, I mean, if I find myself a clean FD,
that's beautiful.
All right, so that's a clean. We're looking at a clean 93 FD RX-7. It's a 66,000 mile car, touring package. So that's going to have the leather and all the little options. It looks fairly unmolested and unmodified. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a good condition. And that car sold for $40,000. I think that will continue to happen. Those cars are right there. But I don't know that I think that those cars down the road are going to be, you know, $100,000 cars. I think they may
appreciate. Like the R34s and, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to skyrocket.
Yeah. I mean, there are some cars that have been on my radar. Like, in particular, I've really been looking pretty hard at the M Roadsters and the M Coupes.
You're talking about like the clown shoe cars.
Yeah, so the ones on the Z3 and the Z4 chassis.
Yeah.
Like,
the most hated cars back in the day, by the way.
I know.
Nobody liked
those. The Z3 clown shoe, the coupe one, has already seen quite a skyrocket in value.
Like, yeah, I don't know how much more it's going to go up, but that is one of those unicorn cars.
Yeah.
It's not that car, but you would look for Z3M.
Yeah.
That's what you want to check. But
so those have been on my radar because you can still find the Roadster.
Yep, there it is, first one.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one that we're looking at on the screen.
Yeah. Like, right. That's something that, yeah, that's what I'm trying to get, especially with the 2002s.
Yep.
Because they come with the S54 motor.
Yep.
Like, I want that really bad. And you can still find the Roadsters for reasonable prices for the most part. There's a guy selling one in Brooklyn right now with less than 60,000 miles.
But you're talking about the convertible now.
Yeah, but I'm cool with the convertible. I'm A-okay with that.
That's not, to me, that car's not going to appreciate like that.
I think it will. I think that being able to find a small little convertible with 300 plus horsepower is going to be a really rare thing. And that's going to be a fun car. It's a 5-speed. And I don't know. They speak to me in a way where I'm like, listen, that's an E46 M3 motor. Like, I don't know. That's kind of badass.
What was the one series that they only made for 1 year with a V8?
Yeah, so it goes by the V8. The V8?
What was the V8?
It's
there's 1 year.
No, they have a one series M coupe that was made in 2012, and that thing is a V6 twin turbo.
Okay, that was the only year they did that, right?
I think it was only 2012. Oh, this is a 2011 on the screen, so I think it was only 11 and 12.
Okay, I remember there was this one.
Car. This is the car you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The one, right? The 1M.
I think these are. I'm pretty sure that these...
there's 1 year that they made, and I think that car will end up being super.
Oh, totally.
Collectible.
Yeah.
Because it's such an odd 1 year type thing.
That is. I'm pretty sure it's a V6 twin turbo though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I for some reason thought there was 1 year where. There was a V8 for the one series, like in one particular model. And again, it could be the 1M.
Cool. But yeah, those are absolutely badass. But yeah,
What engine is in that 1M that you're looking at?
You can take a look. The M Roadsters and stuff like that. Like they're and the Z4 ones, which are more modern. Like the prices on those are not.
What does it say?
Not up there yet.
This is a.
It says
6-cylinder twin turbos. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, yeah, I get you.
The E92 M3 was with the V8.
Got it. So anyhow, bottom line is, so I think that there's some cars like that, but then there are some cars that have a shot at really becoming the, you know, in 20 years from now becoming the super expensive, like, ramp-up cars.
Yeah. Here's one that I don't know if you're going to agree with or not.
Okay.
But we've spoke about before on how the Evos have gone up in value. 8s are going up. 9s have gone up.
Yep.
And now we're seeing 10s start to go up.
I don't know about the 10s.
But they are starting to go up. If you find low-mileage condition, you know, not automatic 10s, they're going up in value.
I don't know.
But I think something to follow will be the Subaru STIs.
I don't know that I think that the STIs are going to go any more than the same way I think that Evo 10s would go. I think they're a good comparison. I think you have maybe, like, I can see some years, like the 2000, like, you know, maybe the, what do they call the version, right? It's drawing my blank right now. Right after the Bug Eye was the
Blob Eye.
Mm-hmm. I think you could probably find the Blob Eye STI see some value. That was really the first one that we had in the States.
Yeah.
And the earlier ones were ones that didn't even come with radios.
Yeah.
Like I think you could see some of those really take on some value if you have the right trim packages and colors and stuff like that. I'm not sure that you're gonna find any love for the Nighthawks.
The Hawkeyes.
Nighthawks.
The Hawkeyes.
I don't know that the 2013 body style, that area with the hatch and stuff like that. I don't know that's gonna do it.
That's like my favorite. That hatchback is my favorite.
I know. I can tell that that would be your favorite.
I love that one. But I'll even
You're in for some weird stuff.
No, I'll be as bold to say that even the last generation of the STIs, I think those are gonna go up in value. Which were the 15s to 21s. Those I think are gonna go up in value. Being the last year of the STI in the States. And
maybe,
you know, I don't know. I just think that, listen, when that,
I think they're going to hold their values. I just don't know that they're going to shoot up.
No. Well, that car new was probably sitting somewhere around like 38,000 MSRP. And I think that in good condition, low mileage, those are going to outsell the MSRP. No problem.
Okay. I don't know. That's going to shoot up. I think that cars that I think that potentially, I think that if you go down the road 15 or so years, I think the clean examples of Nismo 350Z and 370Z may have a shot at it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I mean, they're really desirable cars, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the 350Z is a hard one for me because like, I own 350Z, and the truth is there really wasn't much else that came with the Nismo that my car didn't come with. Now, I will say that what really does a good job with giving it that fair chance to escalate in value is the fact that being a Nismo edition where it's numbered and the whole thing, that, you know, that does lead itself to be a very specialty car.
Now, I guess I didn't know this, but so for the 350, there was a Nismo edition and there was also a track package. They're two separate things.
Two separate things. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what did the Nismo have that the track
package
had?
It had the wild bumpers, right? The front bumper I like.
It's so like an aero package.
And then the rear bumper is that wild, like has a shelf on it in the rear kind of thing. Mm. And you know, it's badged. It does have different color inlaid. It's like red inlaid seats, red inlaid seats, red stitching.
Is it the same brakes as the track package? They probably didn't change that,
nope.
Right? Yeah.
So there's really nothing, you know. And there's a couple of bracing, like in other words, in the front and the rear of the car. There's these like shock stabilizers, one's in the trunk in the rear, like where the spare tire would be, against the part where it would go across, you know, goes all across the trunk. Yep. And then the other one is actually on the front, lower rad support. It ties the core support together. And then in addition to that, there's a secondary strut bar.
That's what the bumper looks like?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen one of those on the road.
There's a second. Yeah. And that's kind of what I mean by like,
there wasn't
really a ton of them out there. So when you find them and those cars right now, like you can get those cars for $25,000, you know, right now. So I think, you know, you got that.
Oh, they give you a nice little numbered plaque.
Yep. It's there.
Makes you feel special.
I mean, if maybe.
You know,
but like the Nismo in itself, it has a good bumper, stuff like that. So I think that this car will appreciate, especially if it's in a stock form, clean, stuff like that.
And the 370 will definitely follow because the 370 Nismos are just badass.
Yeah, I think they have a chance at it. I mean, let me tell you what I think hurts the chances of the 370Z Nismo.
They ran for 10 years?
Well, no, but that's an interesting point. It's because if you look at a 370Z Nismo, they did like the same thing like the Audi S-Line cars did.
Oh.
They had the Nismo package and some of them were automatic. And then they had the Nismo edition, which was like legitimately the car.
Right.
So, you know, you got to find. So anyhow, so I don't know. The 370, I think, you know, if you find the right one, I think some trims and some packages and some option levels could go up, but I just don't know if they're going to skyrocket. I kind of feel like the 350 might have more of a chance just because it was like maybe a little bit more rare. They didn't make it for as long. I think the car was only made in 2008.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I think the Nismo 350Z does have a fighting chance.
I'll tell you this. So 370 Nismo, the wheels that came on the earlier generations of the 370 Nismo are some of my favorite OE wheels of all time.
That split spoke one?
It's they almost have like the same concavity as a Neoform behind you.
I understand that.
Like, and they have a little, I guess it is a split spoke. They have like kind of like a like a broken spoke at the end. It's like a little whatever. I guess it's a split spoke. But yeah, those are one of my favorite OE wheels of all time.
Cool.
Really just love those.
Let's see. What other cars do you think could do it?
I mean, you know, I think there might be even as strange cars as something like a Chevy SS that would go up in value.
Okay.
No. You don't think so?
I mean, again, I think it's going to go those clean examples. I think, you know, some point you're going to find somebody that, you know, was like, wow, this is cool. But I think just like the Impala SSs that were back in the day that had the LS1s in them and stuff like that, I don't know that I think that they're going to shoot them.
I think there are people out there who love V8s. I think that there's going to be someone out there that's going to say, wow, having a sedan, which makes it on a level of more practicality, and having a six-speed option with a rear-wheel drive V8 is going to be just a completely unicorn, rare thing out there.
So you're going to make that same argument for the more modern GTO?
The more modern GTO? No. Yeah, I would. But the GTO, I guess, I think it's a two-door. And
yeah, it is.
I don't know.
So traditionally, coupes do better anyway.
No, I know, but I don't know if coupes are just proven to be not so popular in the States.
That just looks, I'm sorry. Like, I don't.
But you're doing Pontiac versus Chevy. I don't know. But I. What?
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't know. I think the four door on the Chevy SS. Would all right. Be
so I get it. I get it. Not the two door sports car that looks like a Grand Am. You like the four door police car.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. I listen. I think it's gonna be a car that's gonna be so unique in terms of specs that it will just end up being appealing. And there's not a lot out there. I don't know.
All right.
If you found those in good condition, I would be like, that's cool.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
To each their own.
Listen, we're on record, so we can come back later and see.
Yeah.
Let's see. Barreling on, I think when we get into BMW, I think we can easily say E36 M3, E46 M3, clean examples. E46, I'm sorry, not the SMG car. It has to be the true manual car.
Yeah.
But I think if you find those cars, I think there's a high potential for those cars to really skyrocket.
I feel the way that you did with the R34s GTRs, the way I feel with the E36 M3. E36 M3 is, I think, is one of the best looking cars, period. And
wow, that's a big statement.
Oh, it's such a good looking car. It really is. It's just beautiful. And the prices on those in great condition, I've seen them go as high as $85,000.
Yeah, I mean some of the really clean original M3s for the E46s are
E36 though. E36.
That's what I meant.
E36, I've seen them go as high as
E46s like are starting to climb up there too.
I like the body style of the E36 better, but
and I'm more of an E46 guy.
Fair enough, but both of them are going to rise.
I believe so.
You know?
I believe
like,
so.
But that's what I'm saying now. Like when I was younger, anyone driving around the E36 M3 was like, damn, that's the man right there. And the prices, and you could look at them and you could be like, maybe in a few years I can get one of these. And now I feel like it's been a decade and I'm just like, not going to happen.
You know what I should have followed up when we were doing the American stuff over with your police cars?
What was that?
I should have followed up with Corvette Z06, so C5 Z06, C6 Z06.
Yeah.
Eventually C7 Z06, I think. I mean, we're talking about, I think they're really going to become collectible pieces. And then the most specific one that I think is going to gain just overwhelming amount of traction at some point is going to be in the C6 vintage. They had the ZR1 for a few years.
Oh yeah,
the supercharged with the clear
with the clear hood,
that was
so badass.
So I really want that car. So
it's kind of not fair to say a Corvette in the sense of it's a cult car, you know?
Yeah, but like here's the thing. Like we've talked about this before. We're what makes to me what makes cars skyrocket in value like that has to do with nostalgia, right? And I think that even those years, you're going to start to see people in my age bracket, a little bit older, a little bit younger, right? Mm-hmm. Good age gap. That as they come into expendable money, I think they're going to try to snatch up some of these cars because their fathers drove them, or their fathers wanted one, or they wanted one as a kid, or they saw a thing at a car show. Like, that's the kind of nostalgia that I think is going to take some of those cars. And the ZR1 has the low numbers and the really cool, desirable packages to make that something that you'd want.
I think there's a level of class with it, too. You know, I think whether you're younger or get older, I feel like there's never a bad time to drive a Corvette. Hmm. You know,
like, I mean, I like Corvettes.
And I know it's kind of a blank statement of what mm-hmm. I just said, but I think there might be an age limit ticker on like how old can you be before it's kind of weird that you're pulling up in maybe like a modded out S14. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, I do.
Like,
but
you see a 70-year-old guy pop out of a Corvette, you're like, hell yeah.
I do. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And I agree with you. And I think to an extent, though, because here's the thing. Let me put it this way. All right. R33 GTR.
Yep.
Let's say even 20 years from now. So now you're 60. Let's not use 20 years. Let's say you're 60.
Yep.
Okay. And you get out of an R33 GTR. Mm-hmm. You know it's a valuable car, right? Yep. That's not the question. And it's modified, it's hooked up, and it's got the loud exhaust. And
you know
what I mean? Like, you embarrassed a little bit?
No, it wasn't a U.S. market car. So I think that'll always hold true.
Just stay with me for a second. Are you embarrassed a little bit that it's modified and you're getting out and it's loud? And,
no.
No, he's not. That doesn't do it, right?
No.
Because I was going to say, like, now take that car and just make it completely all original, unmolested.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, does that go away? And I think it would.
I don't know. Well,
because then you're driving a collector's car.
Right. I know. But it's a little bit of a weird example with the R33. Because no matter what or how old I am, it's going to be cool to drive an R33.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, just because you think that's cool. Like, here's a good example. I want one of these cars. I'd pay a tremendous amount of money for these cars.
Mm-hmm.
My wife looks at them, and her thing is like, I don't get it.
It's an old Nissan.
It's an old Nissan.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but like, it's a GTR. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Not that she doesn't understand. She understands, but she's like, but if it wasn't rare and you can go buy one for 10 grand, yeah. Would you care? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
But like, the truth is, she's right. There's a level of psychology in it. Like, what if they were just old?
All over,
like,
the place.
Would I care? Oh, I'd still own one.
Everyone has one. You're just like, mm-hmm.
I don't know if everyone has one, but no, like, but saying, yeah,
if they were everywhere and everyone had one, would you just be like, I'm over it?
I don't know. You know what? No, I wouldn't. But
me either.
But I also, I'm the same guy that would go, even with Gallant VR4s going down. They're going up a little. They're going up for the really clean examples. But what I'm saying is that car was not an amazing car as far as its build quality. I mean, they're all rusted and different things like that. But but I would still buy, even if I had to spend 10 grand for one, I would still buy it and enjoy it. And everybody else would look at me like I'm driving a beater.
Listen, I don't know. I look at countless models of cars out there, ones that I try to look for cars I've never heard of and cars that whatever. And I just say, wow, what is this car about? And I want to learn about it.
Yeah.
I've never, ever looked up a Gallant VR4 ever.
That's fine.
You don't see them for sale. You don't see them on the road.
But that just proves my point.
I guess so.
Like, it's one of those cars that I think is super cool that I would drive around and everybody else would look at it like it's a piece of crap. And yeah. I would feel like, oh, this is a great car.
You know?
Like, so I think it's perspective. So here's a Honda that I think is going to do it. I mean, I think you're going to see that the FK8 skyrocket at some point.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No, there's a lot of them. They're out there. They're easy to find.
When you say there's a lot of them, how many do you think there really are?
I don't know. Probably over 10 grand. 10,000. Mm. Not 10 grand.
Max, pull FK8 Civic Type R numbers up. See what you got there.
The car ran for a
number of years.
Yeah, 17 to 21. 2017 and 21. I mean, it's a fair amount of time.
I don't know how many cars. No, that's not right. 47,000?
20,000. I said more
that's
than 10.
Lot.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a lot. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of them.
Ugh.
They're right. really out there.
All right. Might take a little bit.
Those cars are really available.
But yeah, people are really still clinging to that value thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, on the new ones, but I think the FKAs, you can start finding them for less than 30 grand with high mileage.
Clean Toyota MR2s, SW20s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the value is already going up on those.
100%. But
yeah.
What I think you're going to see those cars down the road be like
the
expensive,
the gem,
the not a super price, but I think it's going to be up there to the point where people are going to say, man, can't get those cars.
Oh, I'll fire one back at you with Honda Prelude.
Which version?
The one that came with the H22A, the late
90s,
late 90s,
like 9701.
Yeah,
Prelude.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be right there with the eclipses. I think you're going to find
the prelude to this day. Well, there was a prelude SI, by the way, which will probably, or the SH. There we go. Whatever it is, and the prelude is such a weird car. Of like, why did they make this? You know,
they'll go up in value, but they're not going to me. This isn't going to be the skyrocket example. This is going to be the same as, you know, a clean EP3.
Yeah, if the Preludes had better handling, I think they would have gone up in value.
I don't think it's that. I just think it's like those cars, like even when they were, you know, really high in demand, which was the years that they actually offered them, they were their sports car basically.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think, like, that's when they were the most expensive and they really haven't ever found their way back to it. The car was fast-ish, quick-ish. It wasn't like that's crazy. A lot of people didn't build them like that.
Yeah,
just it was close. Just no cigar.
I think it'll be a good one. I got Max is like the bid on this car. 2005 Honda Civic SI EP3.
Yeah, right. Well, you bid.
I don't know. Oh, it's a $2,500 bid right now.
Just so don't stomp too
for
hard.
If anyone's listening, the EP3 SI is like my white whale. Like, I've been looking for one of these for a long time in good condition. And anywhere in New York, they're all beat to crap. So it's really hard to find one that's stock.
Why
they had to
put that stupid shifter in middle of the dashboard?
A lot of people say that's one of the best shifters. Like, just feel-wise.
Okay.
That looks funny, but the placement, the shifting feel, it's really spot on.
Awesome.
So, I listen, you could think it looks like a little joystick or whatever it is, but...
I didn't say joystick. I just think it looks ridiculous.
Well, it looks like an Atari or something.
It looks like they're like, oh, crap, you know what we forgot to do? Guys, we forgot to put the shifter in the car.
You're just going to have to throw it like, in the center stack.
What's below the radio? Yeah. They're like, nothing. You got a hole saw? Boom. Shifter.
Hey, listen, it's a really nice little kind of quirk to the car.
Honda, before we leave the thing, I think that you're going to start to see S2000s at some point.
Yeah. You're already seeing the prices with the CRs, the last generation CR.
Yeah.
And all the other ones are going to follow.
I think you're going to need a really clean example. It's not going to be every example.
Well, you know what the thing is about the S2000s that get people like really crazy or whatever? The hard tops are expensive.
I know.
They're super expensive.
The real ones. Yeah. Not the fiberglass reproduction.
No, not the fiberglass ones. Yeah. But the things that get the S2000 owners like really excited are like the exterior color versus the interior color.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. When they have the red interior versus...
Yeah, so like this is the only one that comes in this blue with the red interior. Like, they go crazy over that stuff.
That's awesome.
You know? So like if you have one of those winning combinations, I think that that's definitely going to shoot up the value as well.
Yeah. Because
they have that weird number card to play.
We talked about M3s and we talked about the M3s before, but I think the M2's got a really good shot at being a high value car later on. I mean, years.
Yeah, I mean the what's the high performance M3 CS? There you go. That's what it is. The CS.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll give you that because a lot of the different generations they all had CS versions.
Yeah,
the competition models.
The competition ones are freaking badass.
Yeah, unless you have to change the brakes. But yes, I'm with you.
Why? What happens if you got to change the brakes?
It's like $1 million.
Oh no.
They're carbon ceramic rotors and everything.
How good are those? How long are those good for?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do know that they like to crack.
No good.
Excessively.
Well, the M2 is cool, and I'll tell you this: the new M2 I think is just fantastic as well. I think it's a great looking car. All looks aside, or whatever it may be, criticism aside, I think it's just really good.
Let's see what else we got. Go ahead.
You know what's You know what's not doing all that hot, which means low production sales numbers, which means eventually desirability.
Did not say a Supra.
I was gonna say a Supra. I really was gonna say a Supra. This guy's a mind reader.
I'm sorry, it's not. That's but not gonna. I don't think it's the A90 Supra's not gonna do it.
The A90 Supra in the stick, which everyone wanted, everyone cried about, it's not selling, which means that they're gonna kill this probably this year, and they're gonna be worth something. You know,
I think it's possible.
If they only sell 4,000 units or less, I mean,
right. Numbers make a big difference. It's a good car. I think the thing that may not allow it to do it is the fact that it. And I hate to bring this up because I know it's been beaten over and over again, but the fact that it uses a BMW powertrain.
Yeah.
I think maybe the limiting factor here.
I think that's what most people kind of stray away from it. No. When we saw that render earlier on the Prius GR, they used the same wheels from the GR Supra.
Oh, right.
On the Prius, exactly. It used those wheels.
Well, and better yet, that's the same wheels that the GR Corolla comes with.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'll go on to say the GR Corolla, mm-hmm. not just everyone, but the Circuit Edition and the Marizo. I can't pronounce that thing.
Yeah, you know.
Those two specs, I think, will end up being extremely valuable cars in the future.
What I think is really funny is that when the car first released, there was the Core Edition, which is the base. Then they had the Circuit Edition, which is like the real top tier one. And then the Marizo is like the untouchable, super rare, track only one. Right. Yep. But now they already introduced this middle tier called Premium this year. So it's Core, Premium, Circuit.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter. I think you're going to have the Circuit or
a
Circuit that's super clean or, dare I try to pronounce this again?
Marizo. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I just think it's weird that they decided to throw a fourth.
How many years, though? I mean, we're talking about years before this thing is going to skyrocket.
Oh, totally. I don't even know if they will. I mean, I don't know. People can't really buy them.
That's interesting. So jumping back in, I'll give you another car that I think potentially could be something in the future that somebody's like really into. The CTS-V,
okay,
early car with the wagon, the hatch.
Yeah, that's a cool car.
Yeah, it's a cool car.
That's a very cool car. Yep.
I can see them end up like that weird niche piece becoming an extremely valuable portion of it. Like, you know, I could see that. I could see them going up.
I mean, that's crazy. That kind of follows suit with what I was saying with the Chevy SS. I mean, you have a 6-speed manual supercharged wagon thing. Like, it's just, that's incredible. That's like the most weird unicorn car.
And I've driven that car.
It's probably fast as all hell.
Not only is it fast, but it drives great.
Like a Cadillac.
But it's it's comfortable. But the ride is firm and it's responsive, and it's. It just really, like, it feels Corvette-ish. Like, it's really good.
Yeah.
So, I think that car has a really good shot at it.
Or even the new ones, the Blackwings.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would think is one of the coolest American cars on the market today.
Yeah. I mean, Blackwing has, again, because it's a niche trim, I think it's got a shot. But, like, I think you're too far down the, you know, we got to go 30 years from now.
I think the high MSRP also makes it maybe hard to see appreciation. You know,
that's fair.
You know, the lower the MSRP is and the more rare it is, it's easy to get that big bump.
Yeah,
you know, S2000s. Well, S2000s weren't cheap when they came out, but
I think the same thing is with the R35 though.
Yeah,
because I think the R35 being here, I think eventually the clean examples would be worth some money, but because we haven't really seen a lot of depreciation. But the problem with it is that, you know, buying them right now, you're still buying them for a high price. So you know for it to quadruple, you'd really have to see them become the rarest of the rare. I don't know that's going to happen for a very long time.
You know, one of my cars, my Speed Miata, like, the Miata's a cult car. Yeah, it'll always be a cult car. And I have one of the only, like, unicorn type of cars with it. But I don't know if it's ever going to really appreciate to, you know, maybe what I would hope, or if I just keep the car. But, I have a pretty good example of a possible appreciating guy there.
Yeah, I think I said to you when you bought the car, I don't see this as going to be the car that's going to skyrocket in value. But I think that there's going to be a buyer for it in the niche? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's always people looking for Miatas. And if you want that kind of whatever.
You want that OE type of Miata that had the turbo.
Yep.
And had some rareness to it, whatever. And you have a clean example of it. You might find the right buyer for you.
I'll tell you, Flying Miata makes a little kit for my car that it comes with just basically every kind of bolt on that you need, and it bumps it up horsepower wise, like probably like 50 horsepower or something. It's really cool. They sell this little kit.
Yeah.
It's sweet. And you can get a nice little power bump pretty easily.
Two Fords. Ready?
Two Fords? Fords. Wait, I'm going to, guess.
I got two Fords, I think, that have some shots.
Go for it.
Obviously, Focus RS.
Okay, Focus RS, yeah.
All right.
I feel like they're coming down in price, though.
They are.
They hit a peak.
And I think that you're going to be able to find them,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to see some of them get abused and toasted and higher mileage, And then you're going to watch the clean ones prevail, and I think you're going to see that car shoot up in value at some point.
Do you mean, like, since the price is coming down now, you're going to just start seeing all the available used ones just get wiped off because everyone's going to pick them up?
I don't know that they're going to be that cheap, but I do think you're going to start to see them, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, some of the younger drivers that have that need to want to kind of be in that scene.
Yeah.
They'll pick them up. They'll drive them. They may be a mess, you know. 130,000 miles, being that maybe the one they're picking up is 75 or 80,000 miles. And then all of a sudden, you know, like the car just sits, and maybe being a Ford, it doesn't age super well or whatever it may be. I could see those cars, clean examples, lower mileage stuff, really having some appreciation years down the road.
Well, Focus RS was kind of expected. What's the second one? I'm curious because I can't think of anything else.
Ford Lightning.
Oh, the truck.
Yeah.
You're right on that. I would say you're right on that. That's a really cool
car. It's starting
cool
to happen, so I can't say, like, I think it has a lot of things going for it. First thing, it's got the Fast and Furious tie, which I think will resonate with a lot of people. Second, it is a supercharged, awesome F-150, right? Like, mm-hmm. The truck is just very cool. I would buy one for the right play. $38,000, that's what I'm saying. Wow. I think this truck will end up being something that really appreciates
well. Like the 2G Eclipse, this has the Fast and Furious propulsion behind it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, the difference here is that they didn't make a lot of those Lightnings, I don't believe.
Probably not.
But like a GSXs and the Eclipses, they did make a fair number of them, you know? I think that truck, it has all the right things to be something that's... Whatever. Now,
I think they're very cool.
Well, the question comes in, does it turn into the GMC Typhoon, or does it really end up being...
I love so much that you just said the GMC Typhoon. What are you saying, in a bad way or a good way?
No, I'm just saying that... Like,
I love that you just said that.
There are a few GMC Typhoons that we have seen in pristine, immaculate condition that people paid some good money for, but I've seen more of them... People trying to get 15 to 18 to 20,000, and they're kind of beat to crap.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that that's going to be the restore car, but that was a cool truck back in the day.
Scott, the counterpart to the Typhoon, the Cyclone, I love that car so much. That car makes sense. Is so freaking cool.
It was a twin turbo V8, I believe.
Oh my God, it's so cool.
Was it a V6?
I don't know, but it's so cool.
Yeah, I mean they're cool.
I when I first saw the Cyclone, I was like, wow, I want this thing so bad.
Yeah.
But on the thing for trucks, how about if I were to say I don't know what year it is, but the two-door Chevy Blazers, the ones that came...
Extremes.
The ones that came in a stick, and I believe they came with an LS.
You lost me there. I thought all the Extremes came... I thought all the older Blazers came with that. What year are we talking about now?
It's the that one.
Okay. So there was an Extreme version, right? The same way they made the S10 Extreme.
ZR2. I want to say they came with an LS motor.
But I think they all came with Vortex. I don't believe any of them came with a V8.
Okay. I could be wrong on that. I can't tell you that I'm all caught up to date with my Chevy Blazer.
And the fact
knowledge.
That somebody paid $17,500 for that thing, smack, smack.
Well, there's something about two-door SUVs that I really think is cool.
Something about Vortec and those trucks that didn't really hold up well either.
But so, I'll tell you, you made my day saying the Chevy GMC Typhoon.
Yeah.
You made my day on that one.
So I'm going to round out some of my list with a couple of different Audi cars.
Okay.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to say is, how about, actually, I have two Audis.
Okay.
And I have, and I think there's going to be more Audis out there that I'm just totally missing. I'm not super well versed in all that is German. But then I'm also going to bring up a Volkswagen. Okay. So I'm going to give you three cars right now.
I'll do the same.
Okay. RS3. I think RS3s are going to be.
Like current RS3s?
Maybe slightly. What year?
I think there's only two generations, I think.
Yeah. But the latter generation. Not that. Oh, not that one.
That's
the
new ones. Yeah. So
the new ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the other ones, because they still have that very kind of cool Audi feel.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the grill ate the
car. I was going to say RS4s. RS4 has been made for a long time.
Okay.
And,
I mean, maybe.
I think that's the only RS that you can get in a stick. I think it was.
Okay.
Not saying that they're super desirable, because I know they're not, but kind of rare.
So here's the next car that I have that I'm... The only thing that blocks me from really committing to this one is the fact that I think it has that same thing I just said of the GTR thing. It's so expensive right now that I think for it to go up in value, it has to really get 30 years down the road to the point where, like, there's nothing left. But that RS6 Avant, the new one.
Oh, my God.
That car is awesome right now. Like, I would love that car right now. But because I'll go on the record and say that is the perfect daily driver.
That is one of the best looking cars on today's market.
All right. So we love that car. My whole thing is that right now that car is still selling for an enormous amount of money. I do think that you'll see this car in the future and that will be it will go up in value.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy because I don't know what the sales numbers are on that car, but I think everyone can agree that car is amazing.
Yeah.
And they still won't bring the equivalent of the M3 here, of the M3 Touring with the wagon.
Well, I don't know if it's about that. There's just something about that Avant. There's that cult ish follow. I don't know.
They're really cool. I feel you on that. I was going to say for another Audi, I was going to say the TTRS and the first generation one that I was looking at.
I don't think it's going to get there.
I think a five cylinder little sports car is, you know, really kind of cool.
I understand. You know? I get it. I just don't know that I think it's going to be.
First gens were available in six speed already, making it, you know, that different from the newer TTRSs.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think it has some going for it. What was the Volkswagen you were going to say?
All right. So I struggle with this because I have a feeling as soon as I say one car, you're going to say another car.
Do you not want me to?
No. I just feel like we've had this conversation many moons ago, and I believe that this is what's going to happen.
Okay.
Should I call it, or should I just let you naturally bring it up?
Go for it. Just say it.
All right. Wait, you want me to tell you what I think you're going to say in rebuttal?
No. Let's see what happens.
All right. I feel like I should write it down so that, like, everybody believes that I really believe this is going to happen. Anyhow, I think a cool car with a Volkswagen that, if it's clean, potentially could escalate in value is a 20th anniversary Mark IV GTI.
It's a cool car.
It was a cool car. I think it's a car that's completely forgotten about. I think if anybody still has one in clean condition, comes with a 1.8 turbo, it has, the interior was the best part of that car.
I don't even know what that is. Max has a 337.
That's a 337
edition. I've never even heard of that.
Those are probably the same type of year vintage and stuff like that as the 20th. But I don't.
I've never even heard of a 337 edition. What is that?
So a 337 edition was in the same type of thing. I can't tell you the major difference, but like I will tell you that those were right up there in that cool window.
He just had on the screen that Mark IV, you know, GTI makes me think of R32 Volkswagen.
Well, then that's what I thought you would say.
Is R32?
Yeah. I figured you were going to rebuttal right away.
Well, all right. That's kind of one of the more obvious ones, though, because these
all-wheel
cars...
All-wheel drive, yeah.
And these cars are already going up in value.
Yeah.
And I've said it before on this podcast that I can't believe how well the Mark IV body style, like, aged well.
Yeah.
I thought it was the ugliest car.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's because it's the modern retro. They did such a good job that I think a lot of people couldn't see.
If you look at
the Rabbits and the Mark Ones, yeah. Mark Two. Like this car really does capture all that very, very well. So, the R32s, 337s, 20th anniversary editions. I think that you're going to see these cars because look, like that one sold for $12,500, right? So, I mean, granted, it was in July of last year, so it was a 6 months ago. But my whole thing is like, hey, listen, you got this car now, right? $12,500. I can see this car being worth $30,000 or $40,000 down the road.
You know how these Volkswagen guys are.
Well, because it's got the right amount of nostalgia. Like I'm just telling you.
Well, not even
that,
but also at its very core, it's a really cool car.
Right.
You know, at its core, it's just really a cool car.
Yeah,
I feel you on that. You said you knew I was gonna say R32. Yeah, I like the R32s, man.
It's not that I don't disagree. I just felt like that was like people were gonna be like, oh yeah, of course. Well,
even the Mark V R32s, I'm sure are gonna start going up in value, which I know are less desirable. But
I'll be honest with you, I don't care for Mark V's.
You know what, Max nailed it on this one. The Corrado is one of the best looking Volkswagens of all time.
There was two versions of the Corrado,
that's
right?
A freaking DeLorean.
The supercharged one, and then there was the turbo one, right?
I didn't know there was a supercharged one. I thought there was only a turbo one.
Maybe there were only turbo ones. Supercharged. There you go. There's one.
Well, you're spot on.
So, those were cool cars too. I don't know that they're gonna. be on the radar for there. It might be super niche.
Wow, that's over 27,000.
I think there's a possibility there.
Wow.
Cool cars. Very cool cars.
You know, when you start getting to this, how do you feel about start getting to this blend of pricing where people are paying $27,000 for a Volkswagen Corrado and the prices on, say, another car that you mentioned, like a Focus RS, are starting to get to that same price? Like, how are you going to make that decision on what you want to buy?
Well, like, I mean, I think that there's different types of car people for different types of cars, but I think that's fair witness.
But well, there's got to be people like me who just want everything. You know?
Yeah, I want everything.
I want everything. Like, I literally want everything. So, like, I don't understand how I'm ever going to be able to choose with so many options falling into my budget. And, like...
So, here's what... Do you know what my nightmare is?
No.
My nightmare is that I'm not going to have enough money and I'm not going to have a garage big enough by the time these cars are still affordable for me. Like, I really, when I say to you, it stresses me out. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I know that, like, it could sound funny. It stresses me out. There's nights where I'll start thinking about it and I can't go to sleep.
You want to know my nightmare? I know I'm doing this big back and forth with you on this entire podcast, which I'm sorry about. I keep doing this back and forth with you. Your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. But you want to know what my nightmare is? Okay. And I tell my wife this. My nightmare is a sea of white electric SUVs going down the road, and that's all everyone has is white or black SUV electric EVs, and that's my nightmare.
Let me calm your nightmare.
Like, you know what would make me feel better? Just a blue car in that mix. But that's my nightmare.
But I'm gonna calm your nightmare. Yeah. Right. Let's say that happens.
Yeah, it's already happening.
Okay, but if you do the appropriate things now to secure some of the cars that you really like and put them in your garage, you won't care as much about the people that are driving on the road next to you.
I will care about the manufacturers who are not making anything cool anymore, though. They're only making white SUVs.
Well, I think that that's one of the biggest problems that I struggle with when we start talking about cool cars. Like, I think they're all going to go away.
It's insane.
And I, you know, cars for me are far more. They're just like an unhealthy obsession. Like, can't stop thinking about them. Like, there's so many cars I want. And do you know what bothers me more than anything? And I say this with an incredible amount of respect, but I also say it with a lot of hate.
What is it?
I hate the people that are only buying some of these cars because they're an investment for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't really care as much about the cars. For example, they would be super happy. Like, they, in their garage, they go out and they'll have, you know, a Lambo and an R8 and all these different cool cars. And then they'll get a GTR because they're like, yeah, they're going up in value too. And people think it's cool. But like, they don't really have that emotional attachment because they're killing it for people like me who really want the car. Like, and I want the car, you know, people want the car so they can show off. No, I want the car so I can hug it in the middle of the night when I can't sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, you know, and that's the one thing. Like, I love cars. And so, you know, there's so many cars out there. Don't do that to me. That's like not fair. there's so many cars out there that I want, and they're cars that I could in the, like, you know, here's the thing, having my Z in the garage, you know, where I'll work and different things. There are nights where I can't sleep because that happens to me a lot, and I'll go outside and I'll just start working on something on the car or whatever it is, and then, you know, an hour or two into it, I'll find myself just sitting in the car like,
nice.
Not like because I'm like so happy with the car, because I mean I like the car, but just because it, like, it's one of those cars that I really enjoy its analog nature with a slight digital, like, it just encompasses everything I love about those cars. So you know, sometimes I just like to soak it in.
Right
So it bothers me that I can't sit in my GTR or sit in my MR2 or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I just love driving my cars, honestly. Like, I think that's why I can't hold on to a car longer than a year, because I just want to drive. I want to just get the next one, drive it around, just have fun.
You should start a collection of Mazdas.
I already have a collection of cars. I just don't own any of them anymore. You know?
It's not the same.
I know, but in my head, I have my own collection of cars that whatever.
Anything else that you could think of that may fluctuate on the scale? I think
Yeah, or, you know, drop a comment, let us know, because there's a lot of stuff that I look at that I'm like, man, I got to, again, get this thing on my radar. Start.
Yeah, what cars did we miss? What cars do you think out there that are underrated? And look, there's a reason that we didn't talk about, you know, A80 Supras. We didn't talk about RX-7s. We didn't talk about, like, really too many Evos. Like, I mean, obviously, you can make an argument for Evo 5s and Evo 8s and stuff like that. We know they're going up. Take that off the screen. I think that there's... You know, there's, we didn't get into GTRs. We didn't, you know, we didn't talk about
the super obvious,
the, right? The ones that have already taken that big leap.
Yeah.
And we just know, like, hey, they're never coming down. Right. So that's why we didn't mention those cars. So now we leave it to you. What cars do you think will end up being the extremely collectible versions of these cars? I'm not saying you should buy them because they're going to be collectible, but that you would want to buy and you believe will become collectible.
Right.
Yeah. Don't steal my cars if you're not into them. That's a warning. Shots fired.
There you go.
All right. Peace out.